I'd like to welcome now to the Radio Cafe Alina Scheim. She is the Executive Director of Impact Personal Safety here in Santa Fe, and Jenny Sanborn, who is an instructor there. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
So Impact Personal Safety is a whole method of teaching self-defense, mostly but not all, for women. And you've been teaching classes here to women and children, people from the schools and all kinds of people. I took the class years ago. Recently, you went to Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, to teach there. Wow. How did that happen?
It's a dream come true for us to work in that community because, as you mentioned, we've worked here with various community groups, kids, immigrants here in Santa Fe, and it had been a long time dream for us to be able to work with our neighboring communities along the border who are at risk, who are facing challenges in their daily lives in terms of confronting violence, just as they're trying to carry out daily activities from going to school, going to work, taking care of their families. So for us, it was something that we've been wanting to do and we're finally able to do.
And so how did you make the connections with the people there?
Well, like many of the connections that we have here in New Mexico, it happened through a graduate. It happened through someone who had taken the class in Washington, D.C., actually, had an amazing experience, and then contacted us. She works with the U.S. consulate now and wrote us this email and said, "Would you be interested?" And we emailed back immediately and said, of course, we would love to. And to be honest, we didn't immediately think anything would come of it. I think it took me a couple months to tell Jenny about it because I didn't want to get her hopes up.
Right.
And then it actually happened. So we did it through the U.S. consulate and we served 3 nonprofit organizations in Juarez through them.
And what kind of nonprofits are you talking about?
They were Casa Amiga, Che Paz, and Sembradores were the names of them. And they all, Casa Amiga is the women's shelter there, and the other two are community centers in which they work with people who have experienced trauma, violence, and are doing on-the-ground organizing for people. And every single person that we served was a woman, which was a really special group to have women of all ages supporting each other.
So in a city where there's already so much violence and where there's so much violence against women in particular, and you are going and dealing with people who have the worst hit groups of all.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, when you're entering what's become known as the murder capital of the world, you're looking at what is that reality? How can we serve these women? And for us, that's why it was absolutely critical because we weren't just serving the citizens, which we also would like to do that, you know, over the long term, but it was very specifically focused on organizations that are working. These women are putting themselves on the front lines every single day in terms of prevention of domestic violence, mediation between groups, prevention of child abuse, access to education. So we really felt like being able to serve those community workers in their daily lives with these skills so that they can do the work and feel safe.
And so what did you actually do when you got there?
We were able to, it was quite an intense trip. In 3 days, we were able to teach 3 5-hour workshops to the women there. And these workshops focus on everything from awareness, because awareness is that first line of defense to actually prevent any type of conflict or violence, looking at trusting intuition. Because women who had experiences of violence talked about feeling it in their gut, having that intuitive feeling,
yeah,
and knowing that they needed to act on it.
I would think that people doing this, women doing this kind of work, their awareness and intuition would be pretty well developed.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, and yet we also sometimes encounter people who have done this work who become hypervigilant, either through experiences that they've had personally or through just hearing so many of those stories. You know, sometimes when your trauma level goes up, you do become fine-tuned, but you become fine-tuned to a level that you can't really tell the difference between paranoia and intuition anymore.
Very interesting. And so can the classes that you teach and the methods that you teach help make that distinction again?
Absolutely. We really work hard in all of our classes. We have seminars and experiential classes that work to help people untie the difference between paranoia, prejudice, and intuition. Because in our culture and in many cultures and based on experiences, that becomes quite confused.
It does indeed. And how do you do that?
The way that we do it in our classes is create as realistic scenarios as possible. So we're doing role plays with the students. We always teach as a team. We have another, you know, aspect of our team, which is the male instructor. So we always teach. So Alina and I were there with Ken Matthews, who's one of our male instructors. And what they do is they take on the role of the assailant or the stranger, the person that's not known. And what's amazing is these women described situations where they didn't react as they might have wanted to. You know, a woman said that her cell phone was stolen. She thought she might just be paralyzed with fear and let the guy go. And she found herself actually following him to get her phone back. So that's something that we're looking at, too, this dynamic of what they identified in themselves as in a more aggressive reaction that was very unexpected in a situation that obviously put her at greater risk, you know, to follow that assailant.
So she did that in real life?
Yes, and that was a situation. So in class, knowing that, you know, after these women share their stories in the opening circle, that allows us to then help them work through these scenarios. Pay attention to how their body responds.
Yeah.
Pay attention to that level of adrenaline. Manage that adrenaline and create an outcome that keeps them safe.
So what are some of the kinds of stories that they told you guys in the opening circle? What are some of the things that they've been through? And then how did you use those in the training?
I think
one of the things Jenny and I talked about that was more remarkable to us is over half of the students that we serve in New Mexico have experienced violence. What these women described was beyond what we hear here, which is usually more violence in relationships, in families, in dating or romantic relationships, and an occasional on-the-street scenario. The stories that we heard from them, one of the significant differences that made an impression upon me was that it was both. That, you know, as Jenny said, we talked with a lot of people who had experienced multiple forms of violence.
So they're unsafe on the street and they're unsafe at home.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And they're in their work, in their personal life and in their professional life, they are at very high risk. So everything ranging from carjackings, attempted kidnappings, home break-in, attempted rapes, murders of family members. You know, I realize this list, it's really listening to their challenges that they are facing on a daily basis, and they're saying, thank goodness you're here. We need this. And mm-hmm. we appreciate you coming because some organizations won't come here.
Right.
Their governments won't allow them to come here. Their concerns and fears prevent them from coming here. So there was a really deep acknowledgement from all of those groups of thank you. Thank you for not leaving us alone. Thank you for coming and exploring the reality and not only listening to kind of a mythology of what life is like for us here.
So when a woman in Ciudad Juarez or wherever is faced with this multiple levels of violence that she has herself lived and witnessed, how does taking a self-defense training change that? Change what they might be looking forward to the next day, the next year?
One of the most important things that the women told us about was this idea of, now I know what I can do. I have some tools. I have some skills. The strength has always been in there. You know, they've always felt that. But being in the class gives them very concrete ways to explore that strength and come up with different approaches to situations maybe they felt like they didn't handle in a way they wanted to in the past. And it gives them a chance to see different ways of handling things and the support. The support that they got from the other women in the class, the support that they felt in community, that sense of solidarity in class was something that they took with them upon completing the trainings.
And so in, like, let's say somebody then again tries to approach them, an assailant of some kind on the street, they would handle it differently and maybe have a better outcome?
Mm-hmm. Not only would they have the skills, you know, most people don't even know how to begin thinking about it. So now, as Jenny mentioned, they have the awareness to even see it before it's right in their face. They see the problem coming. They're able to have the verbal skills to talk through the situation to at least make it go differently. And then they have the physical skills if they need to. One thing that's interesting to me about graduates of our classes is they not only have so many success stories of averting problems, 98% of our graduates say that they've used their awareness and verbal skills, and they've been able to stay out of bad situations. 2% have to use physical skills, and it's usually one or two strikes.
Yeah.
And so even with all of that, they're able to think about it differently. The likelihood of it traumatizing them by that feeling of powerlessness, not having options, just is totally different because now they have options. It's a matter of which ones they're choosing.
And part of the way that we teach is it's fully experiential and it's based on muscle memory. So this idea of, you know, I learned how to ride a bike as a kid, but if I haven't ridden a bike in 10 years, I can still hop on a bike and I might wobble a little bit at first, but I don't consciously have to think, oh wait, hold the handlebars, pedal, turn. It's not this cognitive logical process. So the way we teach is teaching the body how to respond with your body, which the women really, it resonated with them because they had these situations in the past where they were using their brain power or trying to tap into that brain power going, I didn't know, I couldn't think of what to do. And in that situation, truly, it's not about your brain thinking about what to do. It's about your body responding to what's happening. And that was something that created confidence for them and getting to get into their bodies and experience it and knowing when they left that room, they were carrying that muscle memory, physical knowledge, and that their body would protect them.
It's interesting. I've noticed that in cultures or subcultures where there's a lot of gender polarization, men have one role and women really have another role, and ne'er the twain shall meet, you know, and men are kind of the protectors and women are the protected and all of that. Women can sometimes be really unwilling to find their strength, but when they do, they can eat the rest of us for lunch.
Well phrased. And I think for so many of us, it's finding that balance. You know, one of the pieces that I loved about the women in these classes is, as you know, Mary Charlotte, we don't only teach situations with strangers and worst case scenarios. We also deal with how to talk with people that you know and how to set boundaries. And for them, watching the wave of relief that registered on each woman's face as they had really difficult conversations with people that they knew that maybe in the past, maybe they would have blown up at them because they had hit that limit and turned into that ferocious person that ultimately that's not going to be beneficial if this is someone you want to retain as a friend or as a family member.
We're talking to Alina Scheim and Jenny Sanborn from Impact Personal Safety. So what next? Are you going to reconnect with the women in Juarez whom you worked with this time around?
We would love to. It's definitely in the works. They would love to have us come back to work with more of their members of their organizations, families, neighbors where they work. There was definitely also a lot of interest expressed in children's classes because, of course, we were working with mothers, grandmothers, sisters, and they were talking about, you know what, this, I want to learn these skills so I can be an example of how to set clear boundaries, keep myself safe in my own life. I want my children to learn from me. And ooh, wouldn't it be great if we could also actually have Impact come down and teach these same skills to our kids?
Meanwhile, what's going on in Santa Fe and in New Mexico with Impact?
Well, in Santa Fe and New Mexico, we have one of the things that I think is amazing. It's just to acknowledge all the work that we've done here, both with lots of different groups, age-wise, etc., to make it so that we were prepared to do this work. We've been in the schools for years. We've been doing more and more work with organizations that are providing services here. We'll be doing a training with the Solace Trauma Treatment Center soon, their staff. And we also did our first Women's Basics, the 20-hour class at the University of New Mexico with their Women's Center. And we have a lot of really great, exciting things coming up. We did work with Tewa Women United recently. And we'll be having some classes for the public starting in February, which we're really looking forward to. I think we're already half full for our February Basics class, which is very, very exciting to see people getting on that as a holiday idea of, you know, an iPod is great, but when it comes down to it, I want my daughter to be here next year. I want her to be able to take care of herself, have her spirit intact, and know that she can get what she wants to out of life.
One of the goals of Impact Personal Safety, as I understand it, is to really break the cycle of violence and the culture of violence in the places where you work. And what does it take to get enough people on board so that the culture actually shifts, not just the individuals whose lives have been affected by the class?
Well, I think one of the big pieces of that is we're doing work not just in the experiential classes that we do primarily for the public, as most people know about, but we have seminar classes that are an hour, hour and a half long, that ideally we want every child in Santa Fe to experience. And that's what it takes to change a culture. It takes people, young people, knowing that self-defense is possible, that you don't just have to recover from trauma, you can actually prevent it. And that we can speak and have conversations about how we want to be treated and how we don't want to be treated, so that it never has to go there, so that we find ways of getting what we need so that we don't have to use violence.
And also to work with multiple generations and the really diverse community that we have here in Santa Fe and in New Mexico. A lot of people say, oh, Impact, that's women's self-defense, right? Which is part of it. It's an important part, and that's an important part of our history. But we also, you know, work with children starting at age 6 to 12. We have classes for teens, adults, elders. We developed a curriculum for individuals with disabilities. We teach bilingual English-Spanish classes. So really, in order to create that change, it's about everyone having access and everyone having the opportunity. Because truly, it's that belief that safety and freedom from violence is a human right.
Yeah.
That's my thought on it. That's part of what inspires me to do the work, because we all have that. It's a basic fundamental human right to feel safe in whatever we're doing.
It'll be so interesting to see, I mean, if this catches on in Ciudad Juarez, the murder capital of the world, as you said, I mean, the structural problems there between the low-wage factories and the drug trade seems so much bigger than the ideology of safety and anti-violence against women and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's important to acknowledge that we were there only to support the work that the local organizations were already doing. You know, the organizing that they're doing in that community, if we had it here in Santa Fe, we would take over the world. I mean, the force that they have, these women working together, and the support of the U.S. consulate. I mean, they're the ones that brought us there. They're the ones, Juan Pablo, who is one of our contacts who orchestrated so much of this, gave a great speech at the beginning of a class about talking about how, you know, we can depend on men to defend women on an individual basis from violence, or as a society, we can equip women to be able to do it on their own. And the fact that people working at the consulate and in U.S.-Mexico relations have that analysis and have that as a goal means so much for where this movement can go.
So if people here in town or in New Mexico would like to take classes or find out more, how can they contact you?
They can go to our website, impactpersonalsafety.org. They can also call us at 992-8833. And of course, they can always find us on Facebook, which is Impact New Mexico.
Now, have either of you actually had to use and successfully used your Impact training?
Definitely. I'm here today, not just because I'm an instructor for Impact Personal Safety, but the skills from Impact saved my life.
Really? What happened? I mean, can you tell us what happened?
Sure. Yep. It was actually here in Santa Fe, just down the road from here. I was walking to work at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, and a man who I'd never seen before followed me in his vehicle. And when I looked over and saw him, my intuition, something just inside me said something's wrong. I couldn't identify what it was, but my intuition was going crazy. He drove off, but then a couple blocks down, approached me in his vehicle, jumped out of his car, grabbed my arm, and tried to pull me into his car, which was still running. My mind had no idea what was happening, and my body responded in a split second. I put my hands up. I yelled at him not to touch me. And that level of surprise is not what an assailant is expecting. So he's looking around to see if there were any witnesses. He had let go of me at this point, and I'm able to hurry to safety, all the while managing my adrenaline to get 5 out of the 6 digits on his license plate, get to my office safely, and call the police.
You just ran.
Yeah. Yeah. Once I got myself, you know, out of that situation. So that's part of why I do what I do, is I know these skills work.
Now, was he caught?
He was. He actually carjacked a 19-year-old woman at knife point 2 weeks later at what was then known as the Via Linda Mall. And I actually saw the news story in the paper, recognized the photo, recognized the description of the vehicle, and contacted law enforcement. So he was caught. I also testified against him in court, and I know the skills that I learned from Impact in terms of managing the stress and the adrenaline of the legal system and reconfronting your assailant, that I also had those skills from the training. So I was really able to move through a situation that could have been incredibly traumatic and devastating, and really made me question if I was safe, if I could do the things that I do in my daily life, like just trying to get to work. And it really turned it around.
Ladies and gentlemen, this stuff works. Impact Personal Safety, Jenny Sanborn and Alina Scheim, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.